Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast. Championship week upon us. Just three games left in the season, unfortunately, two this week, and then obviously Super Bowl Sunday, February 2nd. We will break down the two games for you, as always. I am one of your co-hosts, Jimmy Traina, joined by Gary Gramling and Mitch Goldich, who all three of us did not fare well last week in the divisional round. Gary and I, 1-2, Gary. We had the same picks, right? Mitch, what was your record?
Yep. You know my record. You're just sticking it to me. I was 0-3 last week. Well, we all
0-3, 1-2. Yeah. I have no right to stick it to you.
I know, and I was a Seahawks 2-point conversion at the end from being 1-2. The big one was we all took the Seahawks Packers under, and that's three losses across the board. Otherwise, our record wouldn't be that bad.
The two touchdowns within 8 minutes of the third quarter were a problem in that game. Because it slowed down after that. The Seahawks had that really, really long drive that ended in a touchdown, unfortunately, but it took so much time off the clock, you could have had a chance if, you know, maybe there was a field goal mixed in, but those teams were going to the end zone.
Gary, you want a minute to gloat about the end of the Seahawks season?
No. I mean, look, whatever. I'm going to say they'll go like 7-9 next year, and they'll go 14-2. So I really... the Seahawks make no sense. That's how I will wrap up the Seahawks season. They made no sense. They were an 8-win team that won 11 and made it to the second round of the playoffs. And logic is just out the door. Twilight Zone stuff.
And, you know, I said last week, and I think I said it the week before, that I hated the games. I hated the lines, the over-unders. I feel the same way about these two games. I just... usually in the playoffs, I do well. I haven't been able to find any... I don't love these games either. I mean, I think everything is so... there's been a lot of evenly matched games, and then, you know, the lines are pretty much where they are, so it makes things very tough.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Two home teams that should be favorites, favored by 7.5. We saw two of those games last week, two more this week. It's tough.
But let's see what we got for Championship Sunday. 3:05 CBS, AFC gets it started. The Titans rolling behind Derrick Henry and, of course, Ryan Tannehill, who wouldn't have expected that. Go into Kansas City to face the Chiefs off their crazy comeback against the Texans. The line here is Chiefs -7.5 total. Keeps going up, 53. I thought I saw 52.5 this morning. Now it's 53. They're in Arrowhead. Gary, what do you got on this one?
I know. I think I'm going to keep on riding the Chiefs. It's such a sucker bet move to just look at the explosive offense and just say like, oh, they're going to keep doing it. I really just think they're unstoppable offensively, though. And granted, the Titans are not the Texans defensively. The Texans are one of the they are a truly bottom five defense. I know the team is good, but the defense is so bad and so disorganized and so susceptible to, say, giving up 50 points in a January game. I don't think the Titans are that, but I just don't think there's an answer to Patrick Mahomes right now. And, you know, I've been citing this stat for a while. You know, when the Chiefs do have their full-strength lineup, when they have Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and the offensive line healthy, it's been 8 games. They are 8-0 both straight up and against the spread in those games. They have a point differential of plus 16.5. per game. They only two of those 8 games they won by less than 8 points, and those are both road wins. One over the Patriots, one over the Chargers. I'll be curious what you guys think about this, because I'll throw it out there, and I can't really decide whether I should consider this as a factor or not, but Titans defense was out there for 92 plays. I realize they have the extra day of rest, but they were out there for 92 plays last week in Baltimore. And look, Derrick Henry has carried the ball, what? The number 64, it feels like about 300 times right. So far in this postseason. I just wonder if there's a certain wear down factor on both sides of the ball for the Titans, but especially defensively. And like I said, I just don't think there's an answer. Last time they went down to, or they hosted the Chiefs earlier this season, and that was when Mahomes was sort of playing on a bad leg and all that stuff. And Chiefs still put up 530 yards of offense. That was a game that included some kind of weird special team stuff that swung it. But I think I'm going to keep riding the Chiefs, and I'll throw out one more quick stat, and then I will actually let you guys respond to the thing that I just mentioned. But Titans, last 12 times they've been in a game where the total was 50-plus, they are 1-11 against the spread. Hmm.
Yeah, Gary, to your point about the Titans defense being on the field a lot, it's their third straight road game, which I don't know how much stock to put in that, but that is the kind of thing that maybe two or three times a season in the regular season it happens, and those are the teams on schedule release night. We say, oh, they got screwed. They have a three-game road trip. Maybe it happens more often than that, but I know that's definitely a thing we would be talking about. Now, I know Tennessee, none of those are super long flights to Baltimore and Kansas City and New England. It's not like they're crisscrossing the country back and forth. But, you know, you wonder if that catches up with them at some point. Who knows? It's hard to say. I'm with you on your general thesis that it's tempting to just look at the Chiefs and their offense and say, oh, they're going to keep it rolling. So you sort of look for reasons for the Titans to win if you want to pick them. Or I guess, you know, in this case, cover, not necessarily win. But, you know, we're here talking about both. So thinking about the strategy, the type of game that they want to play, it just feels like it's really important for Tennessee to get out to an early lead. One thing that I really liked last week from Houston, they won the coin toss and they took the ball. And even before any of the special teams miscues and shenanigans, they won the toss, took the ball, drove right down the field and scored quickly. And it just feels like Tennessee's best chance to win this game is to do the same, get out to an early lead. And then we've all seen all those stats about Derrick Henry's numbers in the second half, and they're so much better when they get a lead. And again, want to give respect to Ryan Tannehill for the season that he had, and it's been great, but I think a lot of his numbers, that when people rave about them, it's in the efficiency. He still doesn't, you know, they don't want him to throw the ball 30 to 40 times. Their recipe to win is another day with Derrick Henry, 180 yards on the ground. And I think I mentioned this last week, the type of game the Titans want to play, long possessions, stretch it out, not too many chances for each team to get the ball, because the Chiefs are so explosive that, you know, we saw them with seven straight touchdown drives. They're a threat to score a touchdown from anywhere on the field if you give them 15 seconds, and they want to limit the number of possessions. So, you know, it really, we talk so much about Tannehill and Derrick Henry and their style, but the key to the whole game might just be, can Tennessee's defense stop the Chiefs? Because that would be what they'd need to play the type of game, that style that they want. And, you know, I just don't know that any team's defense is good enough to stop the Chiefs. I think a lot of people are reading into the fact that the Texans scored 31 points last week. But again, one's a blocked punt return for a touchdown. One's a muffed punt that leads to a 6-yard touchdown drive. Those things happen, but you can't count on them happening every single week. So really, if you played that same exact game and just, I don't want to say get rid of those two plays because they were major swings, but, you know, those have some element of flukiness to them, a muff punt and a block punt. They could have easily played that same game and only given up 20 points. So I don't want to overreact to the fact that they gave up 31. So, I look at these teams. I think the Chiefs are the best team left. I think they're going to win the Super Bowl. It's like my heart wants to pick the Titans because I want to see a close game, and I think they can keep it close and, you know, be down to a field goal at the end or lose by four or whatever, or even seven. I know seven's a big number from 7 to 7.5, but I just think the Chiefs are so good that they can keep it rolling against anybody right now. And 7.5, I'm willing to take it and lay the points and go with the Chiefs.
I hate this game because when you're betting, you need to just analyze the game, make the pick you think is going to win you money, and that's it. And it's hard for me to look at this game objectively because I've said I'm not sure if I said it here, if I've said it on my on the SI Media podcast that I host, but the team I'm rooting for to win it all is the Chiefs. Well, since I mentioned the SI Media podcast, Kurt Menefee from NFL on Fox is on this week. Talked about the Jimmy Johnson surprise Hall of Fame announcement. So if you want to listen to that, check that out.
Good plug. What a pro.
But I've said all along I'm rooting for the Chiefs because I want Andy Reid to get his ring. He deserves it. I think Mahomes is the best quarterback and, to me, the most fun player to watch in the league, even above Lamar. For me personally, I love Travis Kelce.
I agree with all of everything you just
now,
said about Andy Reid and
if
Mahomes.
You take out the Chiefs, I'd be rooting so hard for the Titans to win the Super Bowl this year. The Tannehill story and Derrick Henry, it's a very lovable team. So I hate the game from that perspective in terms of analyzing because I don't think I could do it fairly. I'll say this when I'm trying to analyze it. I just think it's a tall order for the Titans to win in New England, win in Baltimore, and then win in Kansas City. That is a lot. Now, the flip side of that is there was a great stat on Twitter by Field Yates of ESPN. It's something the Titans last like 15 or 20 drives or something have all ended in touchdowns. They haven't kicked a field goal since week 16. Every single one of their drives where they've scored is a touchdown. They're not kicking any field goals.
I saw that too because they have a new kicker and I think he's been with the team half a season.
Hasn't kicked a field goal yet. So they are rolling in a really impressive way because when you get in the red zone and you have Derrick Henry, it's hard to stop him. Having said all that, I got to lay 7.5 with the Chiefs. That offense is completely unstoppable. I don't see the Titans stopping it or slowing it down. I think they can score when they want. Little worried about Kelce's health. I mean, he was banged up last week and had a monster, monster game. But, you know, 2 weeks in a row, you wonder if you get worn down by that. I think coming out flat last week helps them here. They're going to try to avoid that at all costs again. I wish it was 7. I hate 7.5. Yeah. But I do think, and I've said this, you know, the Chief defense plays now. So all you need to do, and I know it's easier said than that, is slow down Derrick Henry, which no one's been able to do. But I think Gary makes a good point. At some point, you think he's got to be a little bit tired, a little bit worn down. I have to lay the 7.5 just because of the Chief offense. It's unstoppable. And Mahomes is playing at a level, and I said this all along, everyone was so focused on Lamar Jackson all season long. That game Patrick Mahomes played last week was off the charts.
Yeah.
So
they basically got stopped 3 times when the game was still, you know, a game, and 2 of them were just blatant third down drops, like wide open receivers just having a ball bounce off their hands and fall to the ground.
And the throws he was making, threading the needle, bombs down the side. I mean, he did every single thing you could do, and he had his best game running last week as well. I think that strategy, too, as good as Derrick Henry has been, I think that style of play where the quarterback only needs to throw for like 80 yards in a game, I think that runs out eventually, too. I don't think that's something you maintain every single week. They've done it here a couple of weeks. I just think this is just, you know, the end of the road here for the Titans and the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are helped a lot by losing the AFC title game to the Patriots last year, which they really won, but Dee Ford went offside, and the slow start last week. I think those things helped them a lot this Sunday at 3:00.
Yeah, I like Damian Williams, by the way, too. Last year down the stretch, he was great.
Yeah.
And I've said that all year, and it took the Chiefs running game a while to get going. And I don't think LeSean McCoy, did he not play a snap last week? Because remember, they benched him a couple games down the stretch. And the line they used was that they were saving him for the playoffs. People thought, you know, load management coming to the NFL. But, you know, really, Williams has been better. I know he had that 90-yard play late in the regular season. And, you know, yeah, I love the look from them. They had a couple of drops early, but once they got settled in, they just have so many weapons on that team. They, you know, they can score 30 points in 20 minutes.
So like we're all saying Chiefs here. You said Chiefs, right, Gary? So long ago.
Yeah. I think Chiefs will end up being my best bet. I don't even know if I'm going to do two best bets this week. Right. It's just, I think it's that tough a week.
Since we're all taking the Chiefs, let's spend a minute, since we only have the two games, let's spend a minute on the total. What do you like here with the over-under at 53, Gary?
I like the over. I mean, obviously, as we just discussed, the Chiefs can put up points. I think there are answers for Lamar Jackson, as we saw last week, but I don't think there are answers for this Chiefs offense. I mean, look, the Titans, as much as we think of them as a run first offense, obviously, and that tends to be a conservative offense. They get their big plays. I mean, last time these teams met, you had a Derrick Henry 68-yard touchdown run. Obviously, last week you had Tannehill off the play action with the long touchdown to Khalif Raymond. So when the Titans score, they tend to score fairly quickly. And I think for that reason, you're going to see, and like you said, Jimmy, it's been touchdowns for the Titans when they get within scoring range. So I do like the over here. I think this one ends up being both teams flirting with 30 plus points.
Mitch?
Yeah, I'm not going to best bet the total on this one. I just worry if the Chiefs do get out big early, the Titans, I mean, what they do best is running the ball. And I don't know, are they going to have the courage to stick with that? If you're down 17-3 or 14-0 early, are they going to stick with the offense that got them here, or are they going to press and try to throw the ball more than they want to? So I'm not worried about the Chiefs getting theirs. I guess you just wonder, is there a potential for a real blowout here, like a 30-10 kind of score? And maybe the best chance of the under hitting is if that's what happens.
No, that's a good point, Mitch.
But, I don't want to sit here and be the guy who's like, oh, the Titans are only going to score 14 points. Like, that's not necessarily what I think is going to happen. But I think if you're going to hit the under, that's the way that it does happen. Then again, I mean, the Chiefs, the stadium's going to run out of fireworks again. They could put up 42 themselves easily. So I'm a stay away on the total, but I guess I'd lean under if you made me pick one.
And by the way, if you're scoring at home, as Mitch mentioned, with the Texans taking the kick and going in for a touchdown, last time when these teams met in Nashville, the Titans won the toss and deferred.
Mm. Here's the crazy stat from Field Yates, if you want to make the argument for the over. In their last 10 games, the Titans have had 44 scoring drives, 43 touchdowns, one field goal. That's so, that makes me, 53 is very high, but I would go over as well. I don't see how you keep the Patriots, how you keep the Chiefs under, 38 points anymore. So I like the over 53 as well.
I was going to say, you got to trust Field Yates. Guy's got to rip off the Simpsons line. Guy's got a haircut you could set your watch to.
A lot of NFL people with the great, Josh McGowan, and there's a lot of great hair going on. Orlovsky. all right, let's now go to the NFC game, 640 Fox. Kurt Menefee, the pregame host, if you want to listen to the SI Media podcast this week.
How is that available? iTunes, yeah. SoundCloud, Spotify, where
yep.
can I?
Google Play, Stitcher, okay. Overcast. The San Francisco 49ers will host the Green Bay Packers. Niners giving 7.5 points. Total here is 45.5. Interesting game there. I've said this all along. I've said this on the worst loss I saw any team have all year was the Packers against the Niners in week 12. I think it was 37 to 8
Sunday night game.
So now we have a little rematch action, and we see what the boys think. Mitch.
Well, I still think the worst loss is when I had Niners -10 in DC in that mud game, and they won 9-0. I'm still mad at the Niners about that failure to cover, but that's okay. I'm over it. Listen, I was impressed by the 49ers last week, obviously. I don't know how you could not be. I picked against them. I picked the Vikings to win straight up, so that was stupid, as many people around the office have let me know, including one of our resident 49ers fans here. A lot of my concern about the 49ers was just the health of their defense over the whole second half of the season. I didn't think they were as good, and I thought part of it was just guys they didn't have in the lineup. Now they've got Quan Alexander back. They've got Dee Ford back, though, Jimmy, you did bring up his offside last year, but he's back in the lineup. And then Jaquaski Tartt, Gary will let me know if I pronounced that wrong. He's a guy I don't think we talked about as much as Quan Alexander or Dee Ford, but he was out since week 13, came back last week and played every snap on defense. So that's, all of a sudden you take three important players and put them back in the lineup, you're going to be a better team. And I think they showed that last week. So they're lining up against the Packers. I think San Francisco is better against the pass than the run. And, you know, the story all year for the Packers, people have been talking about Aaron Jones being such a key to that offense and the year that he had. It's very annoying. I think every time I watch any kind of studio show, somebody thinks that they're really clever because before a break, they'll say, oh, well, the Packers, they're going to need to lean on Aaron this week, but it's not the Aaron you're thinking of. And congratulations. Oh, my God, they're both named Aaron. We get it. I think that bit has been, you know, shoveled dirt on it. I'm enough of that. But it is true that Aaron Jones has been such a huge part of the offense. So, you know, seeing them go up against the Niners pass defense is going to be an interesting matchup. I just saw on Pro Football Focus today, they tweeted that the Niners defense has allowed the fewest passes 20 yards down the field. So, again, thinking about how this game's going to go, you know, if you talk yourself into the Packers winning the game outright, you got to figure that experience at QB is a huge part of it, because you've got Aaron Rodgers, who's been in these games before. He's won MVP, won Super Bowl MVP. Jimmy G, he's been on this stage. He's seen the stage from the sideline with the Patriots, but, you know, it's his first time really being there and feeling this. So, you know, the Niners, though, I just think they're a good enough team that that alone, the experience at quarterback, is not enough to make me pick one side over the other. Part of it is, you know, Aaron Rodgers can go off and have a great game and make a bunch of great throws, but I just don't know if that offense trusts anybody outside of Devontae Adams, and he's really good. Obviously, last week he had 8 for 160 and 2 touchdowns. No other Packers receiver had more than one catch in that game. Jimmy Graham had 3, and, you know, they've got guys who can catch more than one pass in a game and have shown that, but when it really comes down to it, to the big play, you know, how does Rodgers have enough guys that he trusts if he needs to throw the ball? And, you know, he can fit the ball into any space, and I'm definitely not going to doubt him. But it's going to be interesting. Gary, you might know better than me. Is Richard Sherman going to travel and shadow Devontae Adams, or are they going to keep him on the left side of the field and then give the Packers the chance to put Adams on the other side or put him in the slot and keep him away from Sherman? I think that's...
No, they always keep him on the left side of the field.
That's sort of his whole career he's done that, but I didn't know if maybe they'll cook up something different. I guess at this point you stick with what got you there the whole season. So anyway, then can the Packers try and get Adams away from Sherman and try and create a mismatch there? You know, you figure maybe they'll try. But just looking at the two teams overall, the 49ers are just too good. And I worried about them the second half of the season that maybe they had peaked a little bit early. But it seems like now that they're healthy, I feel confident that they are going to be at their best. And so, again, it's another one where I wish the line was 5.5 or 6.5. And I guess that's why they put it where they did. But I feel comfortable picking the 49ers. So I'm on both of the home teams to cover 7.5.
Gary.
Yeah, I feel like the 49ers offense, or more particularly, Jimmy Garoppolo was a little bit scattershot last week against the Vikings, and then you get to the end of the game, and it's like, oh, they won by 17 points. And I do think, I'm very aware, Packers fans, that the Packers swept the Vikings, I think the Packers match up particularly well with the Vikings, but I do think the Vikings matched up better with the 49ers than the Packers necessarily do here. So I like the 49ers. The one thing that really makes me hesitant is you go back a little bit. I thought the most impressive single game coaching job this year was Sean McVay Saturday night week 16 when he brought the Rams into Santa Clara. The Rams did nothing against the 49ers in the first matchup this year in L.A. They came out, they ran just a million misdirections and bootlegs and a little bit of tempo, and they completely neutralized. It's a Rams offensive line that can't block the 49ers pass rush, but they neutralized the pass rush enough to end up putting up around 400 yards and 30-something points. So you do wonder if the Packers, with a second shot here, is there something they can take from what the Rams did in their second matchup with the 49ers and work. You know, obviously, you can do the bootleg stuff with Aaron Rodgers. He's still mobile. He can throw on the run, stuff like that. Just ultimately, though, I just don't think the Packers are good enough to score score points. I just don't think it's a very good offense. And when it comes down to it, again, Garoppolo was not sharp last week, and they still win the game easily. Kyle Shanahan just seems to always have two or three plays up his sleeve every game he can go to, and as soon as you're like, oh, I don't know, Garoppolo a little bit off tonight, all of a sudden, you know, it's George Kittle running downfield without a defender within 20 yards of him for a 50-yard touchdown. They're just that well coached offensively. Sort of what you said, Mitch, about Jakuski Tart being back, and I don't know how to pronounce his first name either, so I'll just I'll sort of gloss over that. But Tart and Jimmy Ward on the back end of that defense, Robert Klemko in November, he did a cover story on the 49ers, really focusing on what they're doing defensively, both sides of the ball, but mostly defensively in their sort of breakout season here. And essentially what they do is those guys up front, Bosa, Armstead, Ford, and DeForest Buckner, they use that wide nine pass rush, and they just say, go attack, go get the quarterback, don't think about it, just go. And all the complexity is built onto the back end, and that's in part why they don't move Richard Sherman around. They can kind of dictate what's going on the back end of that defense. But Ward and Tart, those are guys who played together in high school. I don't think either guy individually is, I mean, we're not talking about like Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor, but you're talking about two guys with really good chemistry, and that's such a big deal at the safety position. And it's just it's a better defense when both of those guys are in the lineup. So I think having both of them in there is a pretty big deal as well. I mean, ultimately, look, Aaron Rodgers could make, four or five classic Aaron Rodgers throws. We saw one at the end of the game last week, and all of a sudden the Packers are hanging around, and this ends up being a 4-point game or a 7-point game in the end. We saw the Seahawks. I mean, the 49ers outclassed the Seahawks in that Week 17 Sunday night game for most of that game, and then the Seahawks just sort of snuck back into it in the fourth quarter. Those things are both possibilities. Gut feeling is the 49ers just sort of have a comfortable, let's say 10-14 point lead for most of this game, and just sort of hang on to this and cruise into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm trying to find reasons for the Packers. I think I'm going to take them because of the 7.5. I just think it's an Aaron Rodgers game after just being embarrassed on that Sunday night. Liked what I was down in their offense all year, and I think they're gonna have a lot of trouble running the ball here with Aaron Jones. I think Rodgers is gonna have a huge game. I think with the way Devontae Adams played last week, Jimmy Graham, we seem to have a sighting now. He played better than he has in a while. I think Rodgers is gonna have a big game here. I'm a little worried from the Niner perspective, and Shanahan came out today and he said George Kittle won't be affected at all by the ankle. I listen, that guy's been a beast all season. You're going to have natural wear and tear. He does have something going on with that ankle. He only had 3 catches last week. I think, and if he's slowed down in any way, shape, or form, that takes a big, big hit on their offense. The Packer defense, I think, will be able to slow down the Niners' running game. So I think the Packers with Rodgers can keep it close with this. I like that half with the 7.5. I do think Mitch touched on. I do think the jury is out on Garoppolo. You still don't know exactly what you're going to get from him in a huge situation. I mean, that game last week was pretty easy breezy. I mean, there was no sweat there. You know, do we know what Garoppolo is going to do fourth quarter? 17-17, 8 minutes left. We don't know yet. So I think.
For what it's worth, Drew Brees also looked bad against the Vikings defense the week before that. It's a very fair point you made that we don't know what to make of Garoppolo. But I think too many people were too negative on the Vikings and what they did last week. Not to go back and defend my pick that was wrong last week, but but the Vikings have a good defense too. You mentioned Kittle having only 3 catches. I mean, it was clear they wanted to run the ball.
Yeah, and they did.
Jimmy, he threw a bad interception. Was it Barr? One of the linebackers
just cut in front,
just like stepped right in front of it, and then I forget the numbers, but I think it was something like they ran 16 of 18 plays right after the interception. Yeah. So it was pretty
Collinsworth made a really good point, I thought, on the broadcast, because when they did get to that point where they just ran it every down, And he pointed out on the telecast how that's where the Vikings playing the game before, the week before in New Orleans, it wears you down. That's why I think the Titans may struggle a little bit in Kansas City. And, you know, when you – I could see that being a factor in that game. The Niners are relentless, but I do think – I cannot see Aaron Rodgers having another game like that against the same team. I just, he's too good.
Well, the road thing, when you talk about them going to California, people now are talking about that first game when they got beat so badly in Santa Clara. But remember, they also had that, I think their worst game of the year maybe was in LA against the Chargers. And then Rodgers came out after the game talking about how the team wasn't focused and they'll be focused in the playoffs. But remember, that game in San Francisco was supposed to be their rebound to prove that the first game in California was a fluke. And
right.
Those might be their two worst games of the season. So I don't know if you put stock in any of this or if we're overreacting and small sample sizes and all that kind of thing. But it's now their third trip of the season to California and the first two were awful.
Right. I'll take 7.5 with Aaron Rodgers here, even on the road. What do you think about the total of 45.5, Mitch?
I there's no logic to this, but I actually like the over. I don't know why. It's just, you know, last week we all loved the under in Packers Seahawks and it hit. It wouldn't surprise me to see who one of you guys mentioned, you know, Rodgers is going to make a couple of those throws. And it wouldn't surprise me to just see them have a 60-yard touchdown pass or, you know, have a couple of quick drives. So even though I do like San Francisco to cover, you know, I guess if I like them to beat the Packers by more than a touchdown, then I've got to like some points because it's not like the Packers are going to get shut out here. So you're looking, if the number's 45, you know, I could see both, I guess, you know, like a 27-20 score or 28-20 is enough. So even though as much as I've praised the Niners defense here, the over wouldn't surprise me at all. So I think I lean that way. Again, that's not going to be a best bet. I don't like the totals on either of these games, but I would lean over.
Gary?
Yeah, I don't have a great read on the total either. I just tend to think when it comes to this 49ers defense, if you don't have a beat on them, like if you don't sort of show early on that you figure out some way to move the ball and score points like the Rams did, and I don't think Aaron Rodgers is the kind of out of structure quarterback. I think there was a time where he was the best out of structure quarterback in the league. I think that's Russell Wilson now, maybe Deshaun Watson. Well, it's probably Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is good at everything else, so we won't give him too much credit. But I don't think Rodgers is a guy who can sort of do the second reaction stuff and sort of carry an offense that way anymore, especially because he has so many young receivers that he doesn't really trust that much. Really, I mean, you said it earlier, Mitch, he trusts Devontae Adams, and I think that's about it when it comes to that.
Yeah, I was
that
about
unit.
To,
so,
to cut you off that he might be able to do that if he was surrounded by more players who he did trust. You know, I don't think we're.
Yeah, I mean that's sort of been not to step back too broadly, but that's been the issue with the Packers offense. And you know, everyone's what's wrong with the Packers offense? It's you know, Jordy Nelson and James Jones and that class of guys, they all aged out. And, you know, they're trying to break in these new guys, and they're just not really working out because it's not only a talent issue, it's also a chemistry issue with the quarterback.
Randall Cobb, too.
And I think that's why you're never going to see, even though I don't think Rodgers has fallen off physically by any sort of significant, means here. I don't think you're ever going to see anything close to what they used to be offensively. But as far as so the reason I lean under is I really think if the Packers don't have some something cooked into the game plan that they can rely on, I think they're just not going to score. And I think even if it's like, you know, 21-0 49ers at halftime, let's say, 21-0 like midway through the third quarter, I don't think the Packers are getting a bunch of like late touchdown drives. I think if they can't move the ball, they're just not going to move the ball in this game.
I like the under, too. I said 17-17, 8 minutes left. I could see that situation coming down to the wire there Sunday night. Maybe you get a 20-20 and then a field goal to win it. I don't see the scoreboard getting lit up in this one. I think you're going to see a lot of running and a lot of defense. And, you know, you get your little Aaron Rodgers big moments here and there. So we'll give best bets. You basically have four choices. So it'll be interesting to see what everyone comes up with here. Mitch? best bets for the championship weekend.
All right. Well, one of them I know. I'll do Chiefs minus 7.5. And then the other one is, and it's kind of like, who cares if, put it on the scoreboard here. I said that I do like the Niners. I don't know if I want to best bet it or not. Let's do it. I'll take both of the home teams. They're my best bets. I'll stand by what I said here. I like them both to win. I think they can both cover. That Niners-Packers game does scare me. It's very stupid to analyze things this way, but you do kind of just look at Aaron Rodgers and say, how he's only been to one Super Bowl. Like, it wouldn't surprise me at all. At the end of the game, he's the guy standing there talking to Aaron Andrews, and he's holding the NFC Championship trophy, talking about being underdogs and whatever. But, we've watched these teams all season, and I just think the Niners have a higher floor and a higher ceiling, so I feel good about them winning. I'll best bet both of the home favorites, minus 7.5.
Gary?
I'm only doing the Chiefs. I don't even feel that good about the Chiefs here. But obviously, I know a lot of you want to bet these games on Sunday. I do like the Chiefs, even though they're given the extra half point there, a little hook above the touchdown here. So I do like the two favorites. I like the over in the AFC game, the under in the NFC game. But the Chiefs are the only I'd bet that side, and I think that's all I'd do this weekend.
I'll give you the Chiefs minus the 7.5, and I will reluctantly give you the Packers plus 7.5 because I don't want to give you one. I'll give you two. So one favorite, one underdog, do a little mix and match, and we'll see how it does.
So we just gave the kiss of death to the Chiefs since we all best bet it, right?
Basically. But I think that's the one team that offense can overcome the kiss of death. That's the one thing in football. So I guess next week we'll do a show. Even though there's no game, what do we tell the viewers here? What did we do last year? We did like one show for the game and then one for prop bets.
We should definitely do the prop bets.
I can't remember when the prop
that
bets
tip.
Came out,
I think that we might want to save for the week of the Super Bowl.
Well, we'll figure it out and we'll let you know. Maybe we'll be here next week. Maybe we won't. We'll see.
Pro Bowl.
We may see you.
Got to be all over the.
Yeah,
Pro
I'll
Bowl.
Skip that show.
No, yeah, we'll have something for sure on the Super Bowl.
So we'll see you next week, even if it's very brief, and then maybe we'll do the. Obviously, the props will be the week after. I think maybe what we did is we taped a little earlier in the week, Super Bowl week last year, so we had more time to, listeners had more time to really sink into the 8 billion props that are out there. So we'll hit you up next week. We'll review this week and go through some things. Good luck with the wagers. Two games, so be careful on Championship Sunday. That wraps up this edition of the MMQB Gambling Podcast. We'll see you next week. Take care.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.